Talking a little bit about belief and evidence today on Connecting Faith. We always appreciate the opportunity to talk about how we can put our faith into action. That's really what Connecting Faith is all about. And every other Wednesday, we have the opportunity to talk with Leith Anderson, who's president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and he also pastored for 35 years at Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and has authored more than 20 books. And we talk faith, church, culture, and current events. And Leith, good to have you back on with us.
Good to be with you, Neil. You never seem to run out of topics.
There's plenty to talk about when we look around us. And you know, Ted and I have just been obviously watching the news, and we can talk about something that is called a Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA. The president decided that that program is going to end, and asking Congress to address the issue. Just, I know NAE put out a statement on that. Talk a little bit about your position on there.
Yeah, just a couple other words of explanation, probably. It's a program that was initiated by the Obama administration, and it's for those who are brought to the United States when they were children and gives them temporary legal status to work and be protected from being deported. So about 800,000 have signed up for this, and in order to qualify, they've needed to have a whole list of qualifications: school, work, keeping the law, and it's a whole list. And the NAE position is that our government should have permanent legal protection for these immigrants to stay in our country. Well, for a lot of reasons. In America, we don't punish children for the action of their parents. These children have grown up in the United States. They speak English. They have really no other place to go. And the potential damage to families is significant. Some of these who came under DACA are now in their 30s, could be in their mid-30s for the very oldest ones, and they have jobs and homes and mortgages and children and are in the military service. So to deport them, and when they have children, to leave their children in the United States, it just raises all kinds of moral challenges. So, Neil, the reality is that we've gotten ourselves into an immigration legal mess for a long time, and that Congress has punted, has postponed for years, and it's just time for our government to step up and fix our immigration system. But specifically on DACA, when following all the news this week, my thoughts turn to the Bible for some direction, and specifically to Numbers chapter 14. It tells the story of the Israelites when they were immigrating, when they were migrating to the Promised Land. And God responded to their lack of faith by barring them for 40 years until most of them died off. However, God gave an immigration exception to all of those who were under the age of 20 at the time. They weren't held responsible for the actions of their parents and leaders. So that's what the Bible says, and it makes sense. And I think we should follow that biblical example in our country.
Oh, well said. It's a great blueprint there. Leith, always good to talk to you. And another big story, of course, in the news is the weather in Texas, Hurricane Harvey. Massive devastation there, and cleanup efforts underway in Houston, and now Irma, of course, bearing down in the Caribbean and heading toward Florida. For many weeks to come, this week's going to be going on. So what are some ways that churches can be most effective to help when disaster comes?
Well, Ted, like you, I've watched this devastation and talked to people. Actually, I had another interview scheduled for this past hour, and it was with someone in Houston, and they still don't have continuous access to the internet or the telephone, so the interview was canceled. But let me tell you one of the things that's just touched my heart through all of this, and that is that again and again there have been interviews that I've watched, and you've probably seen as well, where people who lost everything they owned, when they talk to a camera or to a microphone, they praise God. They thanked God. They declared their Christian faith. Answers to prayer was one of the most common phrases in the news, hour after hour. Even government officials talked about how the Lord was there when a police officer lost his life. And family members have talked about those they've lost going home to be with Jesus. And it wasn't just a few. This was a lot, and especially I saw and heard among African Americans and Hispanics and minority persons. Anyway, to answer your question, the church can do a lot, and it kind of depends on where they are. Churches and mosques in the flooded areas in Texas have opened their doors to refugees. They provided food and shelter and other assistance. And which is good for them. And then churches that are far away can't do that. So what they can do is pray and contribute, and contribute especially to Christian agencies like the Salvation Army and Convoy of Hope and World Vision. And then some churches can and have sent teams with boats and trucks and supplies. But one more note, and that is to remember that climate change and disasters are not limited to the United States. I think we lost a story that was going on at the same time as Harvey hitting Texas, and that was a typhoon that hit India with over 1,000 deaths. So there are other people around the world who are suffering, and we need to pray for them as well.
You know, see the government and churches and the aid groups working together, it's great to see that, but it seems like at the same time, you know, government increases pressure on religious liberties and public expressions of faith. Isn't there kind of a disconnect between those two?
Neil, government is a big word.
Yeah.
We're talking about hundreds, thousands of departments and millions of people. And we need to remember, they're not all on the same page. They don't even know each other many times. They don't even know each other's policies. So as churches and as Christians, we need to adapt in our responses to whatever the current issue and challenge is, and they're different. So in every situation, we're to be representatives of Jesus Christ on earth. And remember a verse that my wife Charlene often quotes, and that's 1 Peter 3:6. When dealing with the government or anything else, do what is right and do not give way to fear.
Yeah, I think that's wise advice anytime we do that. So, hey, I want to ask you about the latest poll. NAE puts out a leadership poll regularly, and it was on where tithes and offerings should go. And talk about the findings and if you were maybe surprised by what the responses were.
Okay, well, define tithe. I assume you know what that means, right? Right.
The tithe, the 10%. Yeah. A portion.
Okay, I won't ask you whether that's gross or net.
Okay, sure. All right, good. Thank you.
All right. So every month, the National Association of Evangelicals conducts a survey of evangelical leaders. So the question we asked was, if you tithe, should all of it go to your church, or is it okay to split it up to other ministries, like Faith Radio? And of those that responded, 76% said it's okay to split it up. But, you know, I think the bigger issue here is probably not how we allocate 10%. Most Christians don't even give close to 10%. Yeah. So, actually, I'm one of these people that read the New Testament to say that what we should do is give proportionally rather than legally at 10%. And the less we have, then we can give proportionally less. And the more we have, then we give proportionally more. So I know a couple that when they got married, they started at 10%, and they made a commitment together. Hold your breath on this. They made a commitment that they would increase their giving 1% per year until they retired. And they retired a couple of years ago, and they did it. And it worked just fine for them. And that's really proportionate giving. And I'm sure they distributed it to their church and beyond.
That's amazing. That's great.
It's quite incredible, yeah. Just a couple minutes left here with you, Leith Anderson. Thanks for your time again. It's after Labor Day now, and this is when churches are gearing back up for fall engagement and programs and hopefully getting attendees back into that habit. Do you have any recommendations for us today on how we can ratchet up our spiritual commitments?
Well, Neil, I want to ask you, not Neil, Ted, I want to ask you what ratchet up means, but I won't. Well, let's just assume it means I'm going to pray more, or I'm going to read the Bible more, or I'm going to tithe, whatever it may be. When we hit holidays, especially the first of the year, January 1, but it's a good time to encourage people to make changes, to start new habits. You know, researchers tell us you got to do something for 3 months to turn it into a habit. So, sure, the start of school is a time for many families, especially families with children, that it's maybe more important than the first of the year and the calendar year anyway. And so, yeah, let's encourage people to increase church involvement, community engagement, tithing, prayer, Bible reading, but encourage them to do it not just for a day or a week, but to turn it into a habit. And 3 months is the goal to make it into a habit.
I like it. As always, good insight and perspective from Leith Anderson, president of the National Association of Evangelicals. You can find out more about all their great programs and opportunities. NAE.net is the website. And we get together every other Wednesday to talk about culture and current events and faith in the church. Leith, always good to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us again today.
Thanks, Neil and Ted.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. And if you want to hear a portion of today's conversation, maybe with Leith or our earlier conversation with Andy Bannister, we post all those on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And you can click on Connecting Faith to find out more. Tomorrow, we're going to open up the phone lines and talk to Dr. Julie Stewart. Join us then.